Welcome to the Thyroid Fixer podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy, and we're diving deep into the world of hormones, especially for all you fierce women in perimenopause and menopause, and anyone dealing with hypothyroidism. If you're struggling with weight gain, you feel like shedding those pounds is an impossible feat. If you're dealing with plummeting energy levels, gut-wrenching fatigue, or a libido that seems to have left town, then you're in the right place. And don't even get me started on the hair loss. If these symptoms are sounding all too familiar, you found your tribe. Welcome, because my goal is to educate, empower, and shake up your world. I want you to embrace every inch of that badass woman that you truly are. So if you're ready to dive in and fix things, let's get started. I have recommended Quiksilver Scientific products for years, so I can definitely attest to their quality, their effectiveness. And then there's Dr. Chris Shade. He is a genius when it comes to developing liposomal delivery systems that are unmatched. You cannot match his delivery method anywhere in the world. He is a groundbreaking scientist. So when we're looking at detox, specifically heavy metal detox, support of the liver, his detox protocols are amazing. The push couch liver detox is unparalleled. You don't need these lengthy, expensive detox programs. You just don't. Do the push catch, do the liposomal glutathione, throw in some GABA L-theanine to calm the nervous system, get great sleep. That's all you need. And here's the other kicker that I really love. He has a drink easy bundle. So we all know that alcohol is very, very toxic, but we're social creatures. Some of us like to go out and be social, have a beautiful glass of wine with a red steak, right? Well, with the Drink Easy Bundle, you can do that without having the hangover effect the next day, without crushing your liver. It gives total support with milk thistle, bitters, liposomal glutathione, once again. So you put all these together and your body is literally set up to detox from all the harsh environmental chemicals and toxins that we are bombarded with on a daily basis. So you're going to go to quicksilverscientific.com/Dr. Amy and use the code Dr. Amy. That is going to give you 15% off your order. That's going to allow you to try the glutathione, the push catch, the drink easy bundle. So you're going to go to quicksilverscientific.com/DRAMIE and use the code DRAMIE for 15% off. There is nothing like this on the market. So if you want to get your hands on something very unique, then it's going to be Collagen Fixer 2.0. Here's what I did. Reblended it completely. Took three trademarked bioactive collagen peptides and put them together. One of them, Verisol. This is clinically proven to reduce your wrinkles and to reduce the appearance of cellulite and to improve your hair strength. So it helps your hair grow too. Number two, body balance. This bioactive peptide has been shown to increase lean body mass and decrease fat mass. So now we're getting the reduction of cellulite. We're getting improved body composition. Oh, wait, there's one more. Fortigel. Fortigel supports cartilage tissue growth, helping those joints. So anyone with joint pain, if this is holding you back from working out, add this in. So now you get improved joints, improved mobility, improved body composition, better lean muscle, less fat, less cellulite, better hair, better skin, better nails, and some protein too. Why aren't you adding this in? There is nothing at all like it on the market. I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud of this bad boy. Collagen Fixer 2.0. You know, we haven't yet talked about the gallbladder's connection with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism yet on the show. And so many listeners, all you out there that are listening, maybe you had your gallbladder removed. Maybe you're facing it. Maybe you wish you hadn't, or some doctor just decided to rip it out because it was a good idea based on your symptoms. So my guest today has been there, done that, walk the walk, and through her own pain to purpose story, actually changed careers over it. So Divya, thank you so much for coming on the show. But I'm dying for you to share your story with the audience of your journey. So welcome.
Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here, Dr. Amy. And, you know, thank you for giving this platform. Yes, I been there, done that. This is one thing I wish I hadn't, but yes, been there, done that, and I have my pain to purpose. So my gallbladder was removed when I was 20, when I was still in India. But just to, you know, back up a little bit, I'm an Indian immigrant. This year marks year 20 in the US. And I spent a couple of years in Pittsburgh. I know that's where you're from. So that's where I went for my master's. And I came on a very stereotypical path, did my engineering in India, came here to do my master's, and then started working in corporate America. And high stress, you know, go, go, go. I worked in New York City. So I worked in corporate America for 15 plus years. And never in a million years I thought I would be doing so different, telling my parents, sorry, you spent thousands of dollars on my education. I'm going to switch careers. But my journey started with my own health challenges. And, you know, sometimes, and also watching my mom go through a health challenge. I think it, I had both going for me, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I lost my gallbladder at 20 and it started out of nowhere. If you think about it, I was seemingly healthy. I wasn't overweight. Not everything was fine. And one fine day, the pain just started. And subsequently, long story short, it just got intense every night. Every night I would be up pacing the room around 2 a.m. You know, now we know that's the liver and gallbladder. I'm like, oh, maybe it's, you know, gas, or maybe I just ate something funny. And it wasn't until a few nights I told my mom, because we still live with our parents until we leave. I'm like, I'm waking up every night. I don't know what's going on. She's like, oh, like, wake me up next time. It continued. We saw doctors. They gave me some probably antibiotics or maybe some stomach bug. Nothing helped until one day I was throwing up. It was so severe. And Dr. Amy, I've been through childbirth and I would still take that. I would still take that over the gallbladder pain.
Wow.
Any day. I'll push out a baby again if I have to, but I'm not doing that again. It was so, and I don't wish it on my enemy. It was so intense. I was throwing up, I was crying. I was rushed to the emergency room. Like even prior to that, at one point we did figure out it's gallstones because it was so severe. And a part of me was relieved. At least I know what it is. And honestly, I didn't know what the gallbladder did at that point. And the doctor, as you said in your intro, we can just take it out and your problem will be solved. Like, get me out of this pain. I don't care. Take it out. Mm-hmm. And, but I had planned surgery based on my exams, but no, it was, you know, life happened. It was so severe. I had to rush to the ER. They took it out. Things are fine. You know, you're young. You get back into, I was studying for my GREs. I was preparing to come to the US. I just got back into that preparation and came to the US. Now, when I look back, I think I probably had some IBS too after I came here. I was like a stress induced, but life goes on. But it, around 24, 25, 4 or 5 years now, I'm living in New York City, fast paced world. By accident, I get now diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Okay.
Oh, I know. Now you and I know there's a connection, but at that point, there'll be never. I don't have my blood work when my gallbladder surgery happened to anybody look into, hey, was there subclinical hypothyroidism going on at that point? What were my other markers? I don't have that with me right now. But even when my Hashimoto's diagnosis happened, nobody made the connection to the gallbladder removal. And I think I was lucky I got diagnosed so early because I've been to the doctor with a lot of muscle ache. That was my primary symptom, fatigue and muscle ache. And they've dismissed me saying, you're too young, it's in your head, leave. And I was like, maybe it is in my head. I should be working harder. I should suck it up and just continue with my life. But thank God for the OBGYN I was seeing. She actually touched and felt my thyroid. How many doctors do that anymore? Where she said, oh, it feels a little inflamed. Go see an endocrinologist. And I was put on Synthroid after that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know any better. Let's get on Synthroid. And it worked for me. I know for a lot of people, it doesn't. And it, you know, but I was like, oh, I'm not tired all the time. You know, the muscle aches went down. But during the same time I got my Hashimoto's diagnosis, my mom, who had been on the same exact path, because she also had a gallbladder removed, but she did never had any pain, but doctors just took it out because it was filled with stones. Mm-hmm. She had a Hashimoto diagnosis and she got a rheumatoid arthritis diagnosis around the time I had Hashimoto's. And I'm like, I'm watching a preview of my movie. If I don't change anything, I'm following that path. And that doesn't look fun. Like with all the steroids and the amount of pain she was in, I'm like, I don't want to go through that. And that's what got me into, okay, what can I do? What can I change? I had no idea. This is 16, 17 years ago. What do you look for? Gut health? Like at that point, it wasn't so mainstream. Like you started working on your gut. At least now we can go find information if you're looking for. But I was like, okay, diet seemed the first thing I can control. Let me change how I'm eating. I was traveling a lot. I worked for a top four consulting firm at that point. So definitely in a high stress situation environment. I took out gluten and dairy for a week to test it out. And I'm like, wow, I was bloated all the time. I had no freaking clue that I was bloated all the time until I took it out. And that's when my love affair with nutrition and health and wellness started. Or what's next? What can I change? How can I, this feels better. And it was no magic pill. It was years of changing little things at a time. And at this point, I'm like, why aren't people talking about it? Why aren't the doctors talking about it? Why isn't anyone, you know, the doctor spends 10 minutes and all she does is check my thyroid. Oh, you have nodules too. Just go get an ultrasound done.
Yeah. And just check your TSH, right?
Just the TSH. I had no idea about T3. I just got my recent T3. It's on 3.29. I'm taking T3 as well. But that's when I'm like, okay, I need to go back to school. It started more as my own. I wanted to do it for my own health and my family's. I went back to school to study nutrition. And now I'm like, got gut health certified and studying hormones as well. And a couple of years ago, I'm like, I can't keep doing what I was doing. My heart wasn't in it. I wanted to go impact more people's lives. Why are people still suffering with this? You know what you deal with, you know, it's thyroid. Why are people still don't know what Hashimoto's is? Doctors are still just doing TSH. And that's become my purpose. And I want to help impact as many lives as I can.
Wow. That's powerful. I mean, you did a total switch with two different diseases, right? So for those who don't know the connection between gallbladder and hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, can you explain that?
Absolutely. So first of all, you know, thyroid sits at the base of your neck and your liver and gallbladder at the right side of your, under your rib. And people wonder, they are all sits at different parts of your body. How are they all connected? But that's the beauty of a body system, right? Everything is interconnected and nothing ever performs just one function. They're all multifaceted too. They do so much for us.
Right.
And for our thyroid to work, you know, we need synergistic five different organs to work. We need our brain, our thyroid, our liver, adrenals, gut, I'm sure a lot more. All of them need to work and have a role to play. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with the liver. Our liver is, oh my God, it does so much for us. It's one of the most important organ. It creates hormones, metabolizes hormones. It's where cholesterol is made. Yep. It's where bile is made. It's how where vitamin D is synthesized and it filters our blood and sure, 300 other functions that it performs for us. Yep. It works so hard. So our thyroid, when we are, again, there's a chicken and the egg problem. Whether it was low thyroid hormone or your liver not working as well, could be, we don't know. But for example one, if your thyroid hormone has a direct correlation with the production of cholesterol and indirectly bile, because bile is made of bile salts, cholesterol, and other raw materials. So now if your thyroid is, even if it's subclinical, right, it does not have to be outside the range, even if you are edging towards on the higher end of the normal ranges. Mm-hmm. Now it has a direct, you know, your cholesterol production could go, your bile salts are not produced. The cholesterol production is impacted. Okay. And now your bile, which could be, this is like a potion. I think of it as a right potion. And everything has to be in the right concentration for it to be ready, because bile is the one that helps us digest fats. Mm-hmm. It helps clear out excess hormones, excess cholesterol. And once the liver produces the bile, it stores it in our gallbladder, which is a pear-shaped little organ right under the liver. It stores it there. So when we eat a fatty meal, it can squeeze out in the right amount and the right consistency, because it goes and stores it and it gets a little thicker. Mm-hmm. Now, when our thyroid hormone is low and all your cholesterol production, your bile, everything's impacted, it probably gets, it's more cholesterol than bile salts in your bile now, and it can get thicker and sludgy. Mm-hmm. And the other place is, now I forgot a very important function that liver does, that for a thyroid, it also converts your T4 to T3.
Right. Right.
So as we know, your audience know that T4 is the inactive thyroid hormone, mm-hmm. and it needs to be converted into the active thyroid hormone T3.
Yep.
And our cells have receptors for only T3, not T4. So now that conversion is also impacted. So we don't have enough T3. So now each of the cells uses T3 to function. So Now, even your gallbladder has a receptor for T3 so that it can contract and squeeze out the bile when we eat a fatty meal. Now, you may be producing enough TSH, and that's the whole problem with not getting the full lab. You might be, the TSH is good, your body's producing T4, it's not converting.
Right.
Now your bile is not getting squeezed out. A, your conversion may not impact it, right? You're not converging, and your T3 is not enough, so not squeezed. It gets tired, it gets flooded, like you get fatigue.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the energy to squeeze out because it takes a lot of energy. And now the bile is backing up. And what happens eventually, it does form stones because 90% of gallstones are cholesterol based.
And it's not that we want to lower the cholesterol because we know doctors are prescribing statins left and right. So when you say cholesterol, a lot of people go, oh, maybe I should take that statin. And that's not it. That's not the answer. Right.
That's a whole another episode, right? Why if you have low thyroid hormone, you might be having high cholesterol or probably LDL because...
And then what is high? Yeah. Total other episode. Yes.
Like we get ideas for other episodes on each episode because it's because of the bile, because bile is what helps us get rid of the excess cholesterol, the metabolism of it. And when it's unable to do it, we don't have enough bile in our system that's not being squeezed out into our small intestine. It gets reabsorbed into your body. That's why the cholesterol goes up. So yeah, statin is not going to be solving the problem. Now, that's a very 50,000 foot view of how when you have low thyroid function, it could really impact your liver health, the whole conversion, your cholesterol production, your bile, your gallbladder. And then once you don't have enough bile, you know, bile, again, as I said, it does so much. It also helps us digest our fatty foods, the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. And how many people with hypothyroidism are low in those fat-soluble vitamins?
So many. Right, exactly.
And it helps to get rid of excess hormones too. Like, you know, our estrogen, you know, we don't want the E1, I'm getting technical, but we don't want the bad estrogen metabolites to get rid of it. Bile helps to conjugate to that and get rid of it, and the cholesterol piece that we talked about as well. So now we can see how when we have low in thyroid hormone, it could impact downstream the liver and gallbladder and further downstream. Or it could be the other way around. I would love to hear your perspective. You know, it could be you have your liver is not performing as well, and it could impact how your thyroid functions.
Well, I talk a ton about the liver and loving on your liver and how it performs over 500 metabolic processes and the importance with thyroid. But I am learning from you about that really strong gallbladder connection, because I don't think the general public, we know about the liver. Right. You hear enough about the liver in mainstream, or if you listen to any podcast whatsoever, including mine, that the liver is important. You know, your liver detoxes and liver cleanses and blah, blah, blah. But we don't talk enough about the gallbladder and its importance. And when you, and I'm sure this was your experience as well, I've had many patients that had their gallbladder taken out. And the question I always ask them is, did the doctors go over what you need to do after you have your gallbladder out? Maybe take some ox bile, take some Tudka, you know, support it. No. I mean, no education whatsoever. It's like, let's just rip out this organ that is vital. And oh, by the way, you might have issues with your liver. You might get Hashimoto's. You might have all these other problems because we just took out an organ and we're giving you no information or education afterwards whatsoever on how to take care of yourself. So this is very enlightening, actually, of how important the gallbladder is. And I have so many other questions for you that I won't get into yet. I'll let you keep going. Yeah.
I'm checking in with you. How's your energy these days? How's your skin? How's your muscle strength? These are things that are very, very important to me. And I know just from research that after the age of 30, our mitochondria starts breaking down. And these are the powerhouses of the cell that provide us with muscle strength and better skin and abundant energy through the day. So I've added in something that I wanted to share with you, Timeline Nutrition's MitoPure. So when we look into research into healthy aging, it really focuses on that pivotal role that our mitochondria plays in our body. And without our mitochondria working at top notch, then health is just declining. And that's not what we want.
daily wear and tear on a mitochondria is inescapable, but we can do something about it now. Timeline Nutrition's MitoPure is the first supplement that has been clinically shown to replace and rebuild damaged mitochondria. And this results in a boost in cellular energy. And actually, research has shown that individuals experience an increase in muscle strength and endurance without even altering their diet and exercise routine. So, I mean, I can personally attest to feeling the difference. I am now going to ask you to feel the difference. So I invite you to go to timelinenutrition.com. They're giving my community 10% off of MitoPure if you use the code Dr. Amy. So you are going to go to timelinenutrition.com/Dr. Amy and use the code Dr. Amy, D-R-A-M-I-E. So timelinenutrition.com/Dr. Amie and use the code Dr. Amy at checkout.
No, and absolutely right. No, my doctor never told me. For years, I wasn't on any Oxfile or Tutka. A body is beautiful too. I'm amazed how well it functioned even without the Oxfile. Now I do take it to ensure that my vitamin D was low for a long time, and I was on supplements for a long time, and it wasn't going up. And it wasn't until I started taking bile acid, Tutka, it finally went above 50.
Oh my God, wait a minute. Another light bulb moment. Okay. All right, wait, we have to pause here. I mean, this is why these podcasts are real, true conversations. They're not always planned out. So if I have a patient, which I have a couple of them, they're taking vitamin D and I'm not seeing it go up. Like they're taking the right kind with K, taken with a fatty meal. And if they can't digest fats, if they had their gallbladder taken out and they're taking this vitamin D, it might not go up. Okay.
And even if they do have the gallbladder in, it may not be functioning properly. It's not squeezing out the bile, right? The whole that bile, that portion has to be in the right consistency. It's not squeezing out enough and you cannot absorb it. Yeah. And I took it for years and it would go to 30, which is normal. But it was last year, 57, 58, even though I would love for it to go higher, but I was like, I'll celebrate that.
Yeah, it's a win. It's a win.
It's a win. And you're so right earlier, the doctors, it's like an appendix, right? Even though appendix has a role, we don't need the gallbladder. Take it out. It's and you know, I want to say for everyone, like I don't have one and it functions and I don't want anyone to feel bad about, oh, I got it. I shouldn't have taken it out. Maybe for some people, it's absolutely life-saving. Maybe it was. That's why I want to believe. Maybe I was in such dire situation where that was the only solution.
Yeah, you had.
And it had to be. And if you're there, but if there is, if we catch it early, right? I can talk about some signs that people could be experiencing. If we catch it earlier on, we can save this vital organ, you know, start supporting our liver and gallbladder so it works for us.
Right.
Because what in the US, I was looking some stats, it might be a little dated, like 2021, 22, like 600,000 gallbladder removal surgeries are performed in the US alone.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. So how many of them can be saved? How many of them may have to be taken out? And yes, you're right. And then what do you do afterwards? You know, how can you support your fat digestion? Nobody is covering that. And people still suffer, you know, with indigestion. So some of the signs, if you think you might be having gallbladder issues, because our body always gives a subtle sign, right? Our body is always talking to us. It's nudging us. And maybe mine was nudging too. I just never knew how to listen until it started yelling at me.
Yeah.
When I was screaming, I was, gosh, I don't want it. I have PTSD from that. But
really? Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people do have PTSD from not having all of the information, you know, up front and then making a decision. But yeah, and what they've gone through.
It's as I said, labor, push up, squeeze out a baby any day than that. But as we said, you know, your gallbladder sits right under your liver on the right abdomen. So if that feels a little inflamed and it hurts, maybe that could be something to look at. That's more physical. Some people feel that. The other is you feel bloated after eating a fatty meal. And, you know, bloating could happen, you know, if you have Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism, you know, gut plays a huge role and people could have SIBO or SIFO and that.
Yep.
You will have bloating all the time with that, a lot more bloating. But especially after eating a fatty meal, you're bloated and perhaps burping a lot. That's not that's not fun. So that could be a sign, like, and maybe stomach distension after eating a meal. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to your low and your fat soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, because yep. we need our A for our eyes, E is our antioxidant, K is for blood clotting. You know, they perform such important functions, and we can see the domino effect down the stream. And then there could be just the gallbladder attacks, which again could start a little subtle, but then they can really go get really intense really fast. So that could be some yeah. subtle signs as well. And that people could, you know, start. And again, and if you have hypothyroidism, you already know that. Check your liver and call, you know, check your liver, your AST, ALT,
yep.
ALK phosphate. I think GGT, not everyone runs that, but those could be some good tests to see yep. your liver markers.
But there's no actual gallbladder marker. Not that I'm aware of, but I'm just
asking. Not, yeah. No, I don't think so. I've been looking and trying to find it. There isn't, you know, the bilirubin could be mm-hmm. one that if that's, you know, you could connect it. But I could, because it plays a, liver plays a huge role in, and cholesterol plays a huge role in hormones, right? Hormones are made of fat, right? And a lot of people, if they're having hormonal issues or estrogen dominance or, you know, high cortisol, you can, maybe this cholesterol is impacted and we are having a whole lot of hormone issues, and probably bile is impacted too. Bile also helps to get rid of conjugating to estrogen and getting rid of those too, right? So when I do the gut test, stool mm-hmm. testing, if I see the beta glucuron is high, okay, now bile is, it was high for me when I did my stool test and I did not have any symptoms, but my beta glucuron was high. So I don't have enough bile. It's not that bile is not getting produced, right? For everyone who don't have a gallbladder, it is getting produced, but it's just getting squeezed directly into the small intestine as it's getting produced. So I can't really, there's no storage. The storage system is out. So I cannot really store it and make it thicker as needed to make it available when I eat a fatty meal. So I have to support myself
okay.
with bile acids when I do eat a heavy, fattier meal, for sure.
So, okay, we know you're talking about a GI map. And mm-hmm. and I want to let people know. So with GI map, that is a functional test. And she's mm-hmm. talking about the beta glucuronidase marker on that test. Now, not all y'all are going to go out and spend $450, $500 on a GI map stool mm-hmm. test. Mm-hmm. So am I correct in saying really the only way to, if someone said, okay, I'm listening to you and I have some of those symptoms, mm-hmm. I probably should go get my gallbladder checked out. Is it just an mm-hmm. ultrasound? Like, how do they tell whether you have gallstones, sludge? How does conventional mm-hmm. medicine tell?
Yeah. Yeah. Conventional medicine, it's only the ultrasound, right? They'll do an ultrasound to check if there are stones. And if it's sludgy, honestly, I'm not sure if they can tell or what it would tell you, what they would say. They may not even treat it or suggest anything until it gets to the stone form, until they, you know, turn into stones.
Yeah.
But if you feel the symptoms, you know, that I just talked about, if you're feeling that, and if you have hypothyroidism, you do want to support your liver, which I know you talk a lot about, which in turn will start helping supporting your bile flow as well, just flushing it out and supporting that with tutka or with, you know, bile salts, that could help. So if you have a hypothyroidism issue, you've got to take care of because of your liver and gallbladder. Or if you had your gallbladder taken out, or you have liver and gallbladder issues or non-alcoholic fatty liver, which is so common these days, you may want to get a full thyroid panel to see, is it your low thyroid hormone that's causing it? Because the doctors will not run it, or they'll run the TSH and say all is good.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think, I mean, so what do you do with your patients, your clients who, let's say they don't want to go through the hassle of getting the ultrasound, and maybe insurance mm-hmm. will pay for it, maybe they won't, but how mm-hmm. do you just support the gallbladder? Or even for people that don't have symptoms mm-hmm. yet, and they're listening to you going, my God, this is an important organ. Like, I'm having trouble converting T4 to T3. I'm having liver issues. My ALT and AST mm-hmm. are high, even though I'm supporting my liver. What do you use with your clients to support mm-hmm. and or address gallbladder issues?
Perfect. So I like nothing. There's no magic pill. If there was, you and I would sell it, bottle it up with your supplement company and go sit on an island. So I really want, you know, it is nutrition, it is lifestyle, and some supplements. I think I'll break it down into those three buckets.
Okay.
So even if you have a gallbladder or if you don't, from a nutrients, you want to support your liver, and liver loves bitter foods. So we can, you know, adding more cruciferous vegetables, adding more arugula, endives, artichokes, beets, to support your liver health. You know, milk thistle, dandelion tea, those are something I would recommend to support your liver. You know, even garlic, onion. So all the food nutrients that, you know, will help with supporting your liver and detoxing. Okay. And the other is when it comes to lifestyle practices, you want to sweat. You know, let's go out and, you know, exercise is important.
Okay.
You want to sweat because, you know, supporting the detox, you know, liver does a ton. I know skin can also help. So, and if you can't exercise for whatever reason, you know, go get a sauna. Sauna is a great way to help promote that as well. And I love castor oil packs on my liver. That's something that I use.
What's the deal with that? Okay. So I've had questions on castor oil. This is great. Mm. And I go, I don't know. You're putting oil on your skin. I mean, I know our skin absorbs things like hormones, right? I rub hormones on my skin. What is the, it seems like castor oil is like good for anything. You know, I had an ear infection once and put castor oil in it. And I swear it cleared up my ear infection. Why are we doing castor oil packs?
Yeah. Okay. I will, maybe the technicality, I did not look, you know, I don't know the details, but when we
put castor oil,
it did work. But the reason they work is when you put, oil, it's the heat. The reason you want to put that pack and cover it is the heat activates the component of the castor oil.
Okay.
That can get absorbed. That's why we want to cover it and tie it, make sure it's heat activated, and it gets absorbed into wherever that's your ear. You know, you can put it on your abdomen, you could put it over liver, and that helps support the liver with a detox. I don't remember on the top of my head what the chemical, the activating component is, but it's heat activated, and it has to be good quality. You don't want just any castor oil. You
pick up castor oil. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It won't do the trick, and you start. So yeah. So, you know, even I haven't tried it yet, but people can put it on their thyroid hormone as well to support it. So it's non-invasive. It's safe. If it doesn't work, it wouldn't do harm, but it only works great. So that's, you know, so that's another lifestyle aspect of, you know, putting castor oil packs, sweating, and getting rid of toxins. You know, I don't think it's possible to live in a toxin-free environment. Even if I go to a jungle, we are surrounded, our soils are, you know, are sprayed with toxins, our water is polluted. But it's not about being toxin-free, it's making sure your liver is, you know, is able to get rid of the toxins we get exposed to.
Right.
So let's control what we can control. Our home environment, you know, your cleaning supplies, your personal care products, your cooking utensils,
right?
You know, getting an air filter, these little, your laundry detergent, because so many people, I can smell when somebody is using a detergent just by.
Oh my gosh! Right, it's so strong. I know.
You know, Febreze and all those little things that we don't need—they're endocrine disruptors. They're just adding more load to our liver. The liver already has to do a ton of work. Now let's give it a break with that. And also, if you're used to taking a lot of over-the-counter medication, as we know, then the liver has to also process that. So those are ways, how can we reduce the toxins exposure with the right nutrients, with the right lifestyle, so it can start flushing things out. And when it comes to supplements, if you don't have a gallbladder, you do want to start taking bile salts, whether it could be Tutka, it could be, you know, there are different brand, Beta Plus, Ox Bile. You got to be on those supplements, especially for a fattier meal, so you can digest the fat and you won't feel bloated. And you're eating rich nutrient food, you want to absorb it, right? It doesn't, otherwise it's just going to pass through.
Right.
But if you still have a gallbladder, awesome. You just want to support it. It's again, adding, it could be adding some bile salt. It could be adding Tutka. Again, it just helps flush out the bile and gets it flowing again. So that could be another way to support it, you know, for a short term to see how you feel. I know there are no side effects. I know somebody else had asked me that question, but if you are taking too much, you could have diarrhea.
Okay.
So that way, you know, okay, you just need to pull it back a bit. That's the only, you know, it's happened to me a few times. Okay. You just learn more about your body. And okay, I know when to take it, how much to take it. and how to support it.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, I love that. I mean, this seems pretty simple for people to support their gallbladder, and everything that you went through was really enlightening, especially as it relates to hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. So, I mean, these are just practical. There's practical tips, and it can end up actually helping the thyroid as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just thinking of even apple cider vinegar before meals, if you have a little bit of gallbladder, just helping support digestion, because, you know, I'll just touch upon it. Our bile also signals the HCL production in our stomach. It plays a role that way too. And we know how important hydrochloric acid is for protein digestion. Everything in the body it's very multifaceted. They are super talented.
It's like you said, it's fascinating. No, it is flat out fascinating how the body works.
I'm just in awe. I was like, you know, there's always so much to learn. And one of the habits I adopted, it's been years, that I start my day with hot water and lemon. Squeeze half a lemon in water. It's an Ayurvedic practice.
Yes.
It's an ancient Ayurvedic practice. And when I travel with lemons in my bags. It's
so good. You're so sweet. Yeah. You know what? I used to do that. And it's funny how it's so funny. And I know the audience will resonate too, how we get away from the simple. Like, we're buying saunas and, you know, hundreds of dollars of supplements every month. And we'll do that. But we won't do hot water and lemon in the morning.
It's out of nature. And, you know, adding turmeric, it's an Indian spice that I use a ton of. But the Western world has caught up to it. It's so good and anti-inflammatory. It's really supportive of the liver. Adding cinnamon, you know, lemon, grapefruit, they're all so supportive for the liver.
Yeah. And those are all simple, simple things that we can do. Oh my goodness. Why not? Why not? I mean, come on, come on. So, you know what, this has been so enlightening for me and for my audience. I love this. I love that you gave us this overview and tied it back to your own story. And for those who aren't watching, if you look up Divya Gupta, she looks like a rock star. I mean, you're bright, you're vibrant. When you told me that you had Hashimoto's, I'm like, no, you don't have any. I mean, obviously you're optimized. You know, you're a beautiful weight, glowing skin, none of the poofiness, anything like that. So, and I was even shocked at your age. Like, I'm like, aren't you like 20 now? You know, but you got diagnosed 3 years ago. Okay.
So, you're so sweet. So kind. Now,
you look amazing. You're doing all the right things. And you know, so thank you for coming on here and sharing your story and just all of your knowledge around this. So you work with clients. Can you tell people how they can find you, how they can follow you, all that good stuff? And then let me double check. Didn't you give us a freebie download too?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So yeah, actually, can I give another tip? I know. I was just thinking, like, you know, if somebody is dealing with attacks, if you really know if you have a gallbladder issues going on, ease up on the alcohol. That's something, it's a toxin. I'm like, I don't want to forget I enjoy my glass of wine, you know, every now and then. So it's not forever. So maybe you want to take that away and maybe give a break on fatty meals while you just optimize the gallbladder, because if not, you're going to eat a fatty meal and it's going to hurt. Sorry, it's, you know, there's a million things in my head and I forgot to mention that.
I'm glad you did. Well, because the alcohol plays a role with the liver too. And honestly, I mean, I know Huberman has a whole lot of, you know, bad PR going on right now, but if you go back and you listen to his alcohol episode, oh my God, it's just so enlightening and so eye-opening. And he really breaks down the science. It's not like a pedestal, don't drink, you shouldn't drink kind of episode. It is, if you choose to drink, we want you to know how it works in your body and what's happening in your body and the effects that can occur, like increased risk of breast cancer and all that. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm really happy.
No, absolutely. That's something I have my notes. I'm like, no, that's important. Yeah, and the role it plays in estrogen, right? So, and especially women getting into the perimenopause, menopause, like, you know, add on the other, like, already things are not working, add on more things that change in our lives.
I need expert on here. If you know an alcohol expert, like I'd love to get Huberman on here to talk about alcohol, but probably not. So if you know an alcohol expert, I would love, because you're right. The estrogen too. Ah, yeah.
Exactly. We'll let me say we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if everyone goes to my website, divyagupta.net, they can download a free e-guide on the symptoms that you feel when you have hypothyroidism, because the list is extensive. It's mm-hmm. never one thing. And also the comprehensive labs you should get, and the optimal ranges. And I really want everyone to get educated and be the CEO of your own health. Like, you know, have your doctors work for you. I know you really speak. I love that, you know, you're up, you know, right to the face. Like, they work for you. And it's not the other way around.
Right.
So you can get that lab and have it handy when you even check your blood work to see, hey, are you normal or an optimal, and get your antibodies. So that's a free guide they can grab and even keep it handy. So that's one place they can find me, or on Instagram at @_divgupta. I know the links will be there in the show notes. So
yep.
Those are the two places you can find me. And yeah, I'm on LinkedIn because I've worked in tech sector. So I have my LinkedIn on for a long time.
Yeah. Good for you for getting LinkedIn too. So many platforms, so little time. Well, Divya, thank you. It's been a joy having you on, and we will put all those links in the show notes as well. So I appreciate your knowledge, and thank you once again.
No, thank you, Amy.